It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're heading into spring, March 21st and 22nd, depending on when you're listening to this. For my running friends, suffice to say, because of the COVID-19 situation, virtually every road race I know that I'm affiliated with, including the Millennium Running Series, for now, at least through April, all of those races have been canceled. So just be aware of that, of course. With me this weekend, the 21st and 22nd, is Dr. Richard Berryman, a longtime dental consultant and longtime practicing dentist in the Concord area and a longtime great community member. Dr. Berryman, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know it's been a difficult time with COVID-19, and we're all inundated with information. So thank you, given everything that's going on, that you're going to be spending some time with me.
Well, yeah, and this is the first day that all the consultants are working from home, so it is an interesting environment, that's for sure.
And so what Dr. Berryman is referencing, of course, is like many employers, we've worked hard the last several days to give all of our employee colleagues access to work, to be able to work from home, being hooked into the computer here in Concord and Northeast Delta Dental. We haven't yet figured it out yet. For example, the folks in the mailroom, we still get paper claims coming in. A lot of the claims that are submitted electronically, of course, we can handle that with virtual employees. So we're working hard at that, as are many employers. And one of the things I've learned in this process is the importance of leadership and the importance of clear, concise, and calm, caring communications, because obviously COVID-19 is extremely serious. Many employers are doing things, dental offices, for example, the Vermont State Dental Society and the Massachusetts Dental Society issued, bulletins to their members, many of whom are participating dentists of Northeast Delta Dental, to only handle patients when there's a, emergency situation. So it's there, but we're working at it. And I'm not going to ask Richard to comment further, because obviously everybody's been inundated with that information. But of course, Richard, feel free as we go over today's topic to, segue into that as needed. So again, for my running friends, just assume all races. And for my community friends, most events that I'm aware of have been postponed. But today's topic is an oral health update. We have a great program at Northeast Delta Dental called Health Through Oral Wellness, and it's been a real terrific program where essentially, based on your risk assessment score, you can be entitled to additional services such as the third or fourth prophy or cleaning in a year, such as fluoride varnish when you complete your cleaning, and then for folks that need it, paying for nutrition counseling as well as tobacco cessation. So Richard, why don't you tell us about oral disease prevention, since the vast majority of it is preventable, and then we'll take it from there in terms of patient-centered oral health.
Sure. Well, last month, February, of course, was Children's Dental Health Month, and as far as I'm concerned, every month is Oral Health Month. And so it's always good to time to talk about what causes dental disease, mainly tooth decay and gum disease, and what people can do to prevent it. As Tom just said, the 98% of dental diseases are preventable with things like proper oral hygiene at home, whether it's brushing, flossing, water picks, fluoridation of community water supplies, dental sealants, and probably most important is proper diet. So with the newer the HAL program and the newer risk assessment that dentists are doing now. When you go in, they not only do an exam, but they ask you a whole series of questions that go along with the results of their examination as to, you know, what you're eating, what do you smoke, what you review your medical history, of course, and then they come up with a risk assessment score. And people can do that at home also. They can get on to mydentalscore.com and answer about a dozen questions, and it'll give them a score even outside of the dental office as far as their risk for tooth decay, gum disease. So getting to tooth decay, most people, if you ask them what causes tooth decay, they'll say sugar. And certainly sugar has a place, is a component in that, but you can take a tooth, an extracted tooth, and stick it in a sugar bowl, or you can stick it in sugar water, and nothing really is going to happen. What you need is the bacteria that grow in the plaque on the teeth, and some of those bacteria take the sugar that we eat and convert it into acid, and when that acid is held against your tooth for a period of time, that's what causes tooth decay. The acid actually decalcifies or decays the tooth away. This is one of the reasons also why dentists are talking about soft drinks so much, because if you look at soft drinks, and if people don't moderate their soft drink intake, or the ADA describes a soft drink as an acid-containing carbonated liquid, and the main ingredient of most soft drinks is carbonated water, which is carbonic acid, and the second ingredient is phosphoric acid. And then you've got sugar or even artificial sweetener. A lot of my patients used to say, well, I drink diet, so it's not going to hurt me. Well, it's not the sugar again, it's the acid. And then, of course, you've got the sports drinks that are filled with citric acid, and then you have coloring and flavoring, and that's about it. So every time you put a soft drink in your mouth, you are bathing your teeth in acid for a few minutes. So some people say, well, if you drink it through a straw, it won't affect the teeth as much. And that is true. But, again, people need to moderate their income of acid-containing soft drinks.
And I'm glad you mentioned the sports drink, because when those came out, people were then sort of thinking that they weren't doing as much harm. But you are, correct?
You are. They're not carbonated usually. So the carbonation actually increases the rate of tooth decay, because it does bubble the acid into the decalcified areas of your teeth. But you're right. The sports drinks have a tremendous amount of acid in them also.
And that's interesting you mention this, because I've had a number of recent inquiries from really long distance runners, and I'm not just talking about like the marathon, but I'm talking about the superhumans that run these 50-mile races. And of course, they have to hydrate during the race. They also have to fuel during the race, and a lot of them eat and drink items that have sugar, and a lot of them are now dealing with teeth issues as a result. So there's the yin and the yang of all of this, for sure.
Yeah, but a lot of those sports drinks have, you know, a lot of electrolytes in it. And if you're running, you know, a marathon or 50 miles or one of these 24-hour races, I mean, you've got to replace what you're losing. So, you know, if they're just doing it during that time, I don't think it's a big problem. It's the people who are, you know, have that soft drink sitting on their desk at work, or and they just keep sipping at it a little bit. Maybe they're trying to lose weight, and they think, well, I've got this diet drink here. I'll just sip at that, and it'll keep my stomach kind of filled. And then you can just see them. You can just watch them, their teeth rot away from one six-month checkup to another.
Wow. So you mentioned HAL, and just for the listening audience, that stands for Health Through Oral Wellness, a really transformational program that is offered to virtually all Delta Dental subscribers. Some exceptions, there are a few group purchasers, the employers that have our dental plan that don't have it, but very small number. On our individual product, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, it has the HAL program. And the only other area that doesn't cover HAL is those of you that have purchased the individual product on healthcare.gov, the public exchange. So that's what HAL stands for. And part of that component, there is that individual risk assessment called MyDentalScore.com. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I think the HAL program, people can tell you more about it, but it is a series of questions. And for example, I think it's the scores range from 0 to 5 for tooth decay. And for example, I can't ever be a 0 because I have so many fillings in my mouth. And of course, when you have fillings in your mouth, you're more susceptible to new decay around those fillings or crowns or whatever you have. So I think, you know, I'm probably between a 1 and a 2, even though I take what I think is, you know, excellent care of my teeth on a daily basis.
And you're right. And so I'm, in the spirit of self-reporting and not violating HIPAA, I'm a 3, so I get these additional cleanings and anything 3, 4, or 5 and above, you do get that. And what's great about it, it's all done systemically. You're sitting in the operatory, the questions are asked, and once you're entitled to those additional benefits, even if your oral health improves over time, we're still leaving it up to the practitioner to decide whether you need those additional services. So let's talk about dental decay. And I know this always surprises people, but particularly with everything going on in the world, but dental decay is the most common infectious disease in humans. So tell us how it affects children as well as adults.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the biggest problems with young children is what we call bottle syndrome. So mom or dad puts the infant to bed and the infant, you know, it doesn't want to go to sleep or whatever, so they stick a bottle in its mouth with milk or even a liquid that contains sugar. And so what happens is the infant will fall asleep, but they don't swallow. So the mouth stays full of either milk. Milk's a great media to grow bacteria, or the sugar-containing liquid. And it just stays in the mouth, and so the bacteria just grow exponentially. And so what usually happens is the tongue forces that liquid up against the front teeth, and so you see the baby teeth in the front just rotting away. So that's called baby bottle syndrome.
And we have a program called PANDA, Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness, which educates dental offices about that and the parents. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, this weekend, the first weekend of spring, March 21st and 22nd. With me this weekend is Dr. Richard Berryman, great longtime dentist in the Concord area and is one of our leading in-house dentists at Northeast Delta Dental that helps with our professional review and other aspects of clinical review. So I wanted to segue a little bit. We hear a lot about sealants. Of course, there is a coalition in Concord that actually has data to support that the use of sealants in children has definitely, in a good way, affected the oral health of children in our Concord area. So tell us the purpose of sealants and exactly what is it, Dr. Berryman?
Well, the most common place that people get their first decay in their teeth are those little grooves on the biting surfaces of their teeth. Those grooves are so narrow that you can't get a toothbrush in there. And so what happens is the bacteria sit down in there, and that's where people get their first decay. So years ago, the dental profession came up with what are called dental sealants, where we use either a plastic film or a glass ionomer sealant to fill those grooves. So if the 6-year molar comes in, you want to, you know, about first, second grade, you want to grab those second graders and seal those first molars before there's a chance for the tooth to get decayed. And then again, when the 12-year molars come in, when they're about fifth grade, you want to grab them again and seal those teeth. Usually you don't have to seal the baby teeth because the grooves in baby teeth are much shallower and easier to clean. But sometimes the dentist and the hygienist need to look at that. And with the HAL program, I understand you can get sealants on the baby teeth if that's what's appropriate.
Exactly. Now, can you tell us if you're... have this expertise. Can you tell us the difference between the dental sealants and the fluoride varnish that I'm getting as an adult through the HAL program when I'm finished with my cleaning? And if you're willing to talk about, because I get a lot of these questions, particularly from parents of children on Medicaid tell us about silver diamine fluoride. But
yeah, the dental sealants themselves, either the plastic film or the glass ionomer film, pretty much are, I hate to use the word permanent, but they last for years and years and years and years. Sometimes they'll chip and they have to be redone. With the with adults and sometimes with children and teenagers, we use the fluoride varnish. Now, fluoride varnish is a varnish, just what it said. It's a varnish that contains a fairly high concentration of fluoride, and it's painted on the teeth, as opposed to the community water fluoridation, which is in the water, and the fluoride then is there and available when the tooth is forming. So this just goes on the surface, and it does last with the varnish. It does last probably longer than the fluoride in toothpaste. So that's another way of doing it. There's also you mentioned the silver diamide fluoride, and that's kind of had a rebirth in the last few years. Silver diamide fluoride is a mixture of fluoride and silver. And if you've got some decay that either A, doesn't need to be taken care of right away or can't be taken care of right away, you can put this solution in. It does turn the decay area black, but it arrests the decay, because silver is a heavy metal, and bacteria don't like heavy metals. And so that, in combination with the fluoride, usually you have to put it on about 2 to 3 months apart. Two or three applications is usually sufficient. So if you've got a child, let's say, who is 10 years old, and they're not going to lose those baby molars until they're 12 or 13, and they've got some incipient or early decay, you can put this stuff on there, and it will essentially arrest the decay, so that you don't have to fill them before those baby teeth fall out.
I like what you say. It has definitely made a rebirth, because particularly with more and more states having the Medicaid coverage, and most states have it for children, and they actually cover that. So I'm getting that more and more, that question, and we're now have it as a covered benefit on the commercial side. Let's switch gears to something that shouldn't be controversial, but is. So water fluoridation began in 1945 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And since then, it's been proven with data that it works. And, you know, all legitimate scientists, insurance company, dentists understand, you know, why fluoride is a good thing. So tell us your view of that, and why does it still, why is that still controversial? And just for the record, I understand that in New Hampshire, only 42.7% of our population is covered, which puts us down on the low end of things. But please educate the listening audience on the efficacy of fluoridation.
Well, a tooth is made up mainly of minerals, but mainly calcium. And calcium is pretty easily dissolved away by acid. So if there is fluoride available while the tooth is forming, in other words, it's in the water supply, it may be in the mother's breast milk, then it is available as the tooth is forming. So the fluoride fluoride ions replace some of the calcium ions throughout the tooth. So the tooth fluoride is much harder to dissolve away in acid than calcium is. So essentially it makes the tooth more resistant to the acid. And as you said, it started after World War II, and pretty much the data shows a reduction, if you do nothing else, reduction of 60 to 65% in tooth decay. And that was very evident back in the when it took effect back in the 60s and 70s. As far as its controversy, there are a number of things. Some people, you know, there are people who say, hey, don't put anything in my water that I don't want, or I didn't ask for it, and it doesn't have to be put in that, because there are other ways that you can supply fluoride, for example. And we don't see it too often anymore, but the fluoride tablets that kids used to chew. My daughters chewed that, because when we moved to Concord in the mid-70s, there was no fluoride in the water. And then once, again, I can't remember exactly what year it was, but I believe it was in the early to mid-80s when Concord did fluoridate their water. Again, they did have some of it in the late 50s, early 60s, and then they voted to take it out, and then it got put back in because people, that's what the citizens voted for. So I guess that's the main objection. You know, there are anti-vaxxers out there. There are all kinds of people who, for one reason or another, they want individual choice, and they don't get it if they can always drink bottled water. They don't have to drink the tap water, but and bottled water usually doesn't have fluoride in it, though some do. It depends on the springs in which they're getting the bottled water source.
So here again, you're talking about the yin and the yang of New Hampshire, what we love about it, that there's so much local control, but also kind of the live free or die mentality. But we, of course, are pro-fluoride. So let's segue a little bit into periodontal disease or gum disease. Tell us about that, including gingivitis.
Yeah, gum disease is also caused by bacteria. It is a chronic infection, but it's more a chronic inflammation. There are other bacteria that live in the plaque on our teeth if we don't keep them clean, and they produce certain toxins and enzymes that the body will then react to. And if you think about it, I used to use the analogy, if you've got a splinter of wood in your skin, until you get it out, it's going to stay red and sore and swollen and possibly get infected. And the problem with plaque on your teeth is the plaque is not under our skin. It's actually outside our body. So if you don't clean it off, it gets up underneath the gum. I used to tell my patients that gums go around teeth like a turtleneck, sweater does your neck. And if you don't clean down in that space between your neck and the cloth, you're going to the bacteria are just going to sit there and produce all these enzymes. And then your body's going to react to it, and inflammation is how it reacts. And when it gets red and sore and swollen and it bleeds, and when the tissue becomes inflamed, the space around that tooth gets deeper, the space between the tooth and the gum. And so then even more dangerous bacteria start growing down there. They're what we call anaerobic bacteria. They don't like oxygen. And so the deeper into the space they can live, then they produce even worse. And that can lead to the destruction of the bone that supports your teeth. And so that's gingivitis is just the inflammation of the gum, whereas periodontal disease is where you start to lose the bone support of the teeth.
And so if your general dentist suspects that you might have early periodontal disease, would they recommend you to a specialist?
Not initially. The gingivitis is reversible. With good oral hygiene practices and a good professional cleaning to get rid of the plaque, and if you leave the plaque there long enough, it will calcify and form tartar. So you've got to get that tartar and that plaque out of there, and then if the person will, maintain a good regime at home of the brushing and flossing and maybe Stimudents or soft picks or water picks, then it usually will resolve itself and it will heal. Once the bone starts to be destroyed, it doesn't grow back in the vast majority of cases. So that is where you might be referred to a specialist, because you may even need surgery to correct the problem.
Got it. So now we're going to move to what I call the lightning round. We have about 1 minute. And I think I know when I talk to people in the community, they love this lightning round that I've had with Dr. Berryman and our other dentists, you know, Dr. Mills before that and Dr. Arante. So toothbrushes, soft, hard, or electric, manual?
Okay, number one, soft. That's the only one that have bristles that are flexible enough to get up into that space between the tooth and the gum. Number two, electric versus manual toothbrushes. I say both. The electric toothbrush will clean faster. The bristles of an electric brush are stiffer. They're usually medium because otherwise they'd wear out in no time. But the electric toothbrush does not get up into that gum space very well.
So, I like your answer, Dr. Berryman, because usually I get whatever gets you to brush. So you are this is the political season, so you've answered it politically both. I like that. So awesome. So quickly on toothpaste, you go to the drugstore, you go to the supermarket, there are dozens and dozens of varieties. What should we be looking for? Assuming we want to make sure the toothpaste has fluoride, but what else should we be looking
for? Yeah, you want a toothpaste that has fluoride in it. You want a toothpaste that has baking soda in it, because the baking soda neutralizes the acids, if you remember your old biology and chemistry from high school. And also, the whitening toothbrushes are excellent, not just because they're going to maybe remove some stains from your teeth, but the oxygen that is released from that peroxide gel will kill off the anaerobic bacteria that cause gum disease.
All right. Floss, same question. The floss that's like on a string versus floss on a stick. Same thing.
Whatever's easier to use. I will make the statement that most people don't floss. A lot of the people that do floss don't do it properly. It's very difficult to do it. It requires a lot of manual dexterity. That's why I like things like Stimudents or Softpicks to clean between the teeth. But you should floss, also. I floss. I don't floss as often as probably I recommend, but I do during corn on the cob season, but I use Softpicks at least twice a day.
Definitely brush and floss in between visits to your dentist. I know that my dentist friends always say that. Dr. Berryman, as always, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Okay. Always a pleasure,
Tom. And to everybody out there, be safe with regard to COVID-19. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Take care.